fog now, and what happens when a person drives in it? Paolo Preto from the Max Planck Institute for Biological Cybernetics in Tübingen, Germany, has clarified a few issues related to drivers' perceptions of their speed in foggy conditions, as he explains to Martha Henriques.
So there are a lot of accidents in fog, right? We blame low visibility conditions. And there were a couple of papers in the past that just said we can explain why this happens, and they provided an explanation which was quite comfortable when you're driving fog, because fog is simply a natural way to reduce visual contrast. And we know that low visual contrast leads to lower perceived speed. Then what happens to the drivers is they perceive their own speed being lower, and therefore you accelerate to match what the actual speed will look like in a clear visibility conditions. So what these papers did was that they brought this to a situation of self-motion. So when there is no object moving, but the observer itself is moving in the environment. So they considered this for the first time. And the problem is that the way they reduced their contrast was the same way that was used in the laboratory conditions. So they reduced the contrast of the visual seeing of the driver in a driving simulation uniformly, independently of depth, independently of the distance from the observer. And so that was, what was missing in the previous study, and that's what we did in our new study.
And in those previous studies, their simulations were more like driving with a misted up or dirty windscreen, whereas you adjusted contrast so that it seemed more like actually looking at fog outside through a clear windscreen. Why is that an important difference, and how does that affect human perception of speed when driving?
The difference is it's quite subtle. So no one had ever tried before us to simulate a gradient of contrast reduction. So a contrast which is not reduced uniformly all over the visual field, but different regions have different contrast reductions. And that's basically the new part.
So you created a more realistic simulation of driving in foggy conditions, and the initial models used were essentially just too simple, and you've added in a few more factors
They were
to make
not
it...
appropriate,
Okay.
For simulating realistic fog.
And once you have this better idea of the way fog should be modelled, what happened when you got some drivers into these simulators for testing?
Well, we used different methods. I mean, we did some study on the perceptual side, so studies which are basically passive for our subjects, so they don't have to do a driving task. But with this kind of methodologies, we can somehow quantify their perception. We can relate their internal representation of their speed to the actual current physical speed that they are driving at. So we measure what is technically called the point of subjective equality. So when two different speeds are matched to different scenes, moving scenes, and with that we derive the perceived velocity, the perceived speed of the driver. And another method that we used was more like a behavioral neuroscience method. So we ask our participants, our subjects, to drive, to do some driving task, and by trying to match a given target speed they were trained to reproduce before the real experiment. And with that one, we could measure the other side. So we could measure the production of speed. And by that, we could relate the effect of perceived speed that we measured in the psychophysical experiments with the observable changes in the behavior of the drivers that we measure in the second experiment.
So you found that the perceived speed was significantly higher than the speed produced by the drivers in the simulator, meaning they would actually tend to drive more slowly in foggier conditions. So in fact, our instincts seem to be telling us to do the sensible thing and slow down. So in fact, speed perception doesn't seem to be a factor that would make us more prone to traffic accidents in fog after all.
What we did in our study was to concentrate on the perceptual effect, so on the visual motion that was processed by the drivers. But we know that when we drive, there is not only perception going on. We have also, our own motivations, right? That's, for example, if we are in a hurry, if we have an appointment, we will speed up, we will drive faster. So we simply will ignore what our perception, what our brain will suggest us. There are a lot of higher order cognitive factors that overcome the perceptual effects. If we try to, you know, simplify and we try to analyze separately the perception, that's what we found. So the brain would kind of suggest us to drive safely. We don't do it, obviously.
And so how do you think these findings might influence, say, road safety campaigns or policy? What do you think might be the practical applications that your work could contribute to?
At the time we conceived the study, we were not really concerned about practical applications. But after seeing the results, we actually realized that this could be kind of useful for many different fields. For example, we know that in the driving simulation community, there is always a problem. And the problem is that in the simulation, all the drivers overestimate their own speed. With our findings, we could think of some application in the future where, playing around with the contrast of the visual scene, we could somehow adjust more or less efficiently towards higher or lower levels of perceived speed in the simulation.
Paolo Preto speaking with Martha Henriquez.